Welcome to the Beltway Broadcast, the premier podcast for the workplace learning and talent development professionals of the Association for Talent Development's Metro DC chapter. We've got some great resources in store for you today.
Hello, fellow ATDers. I'm Christina Eanes, owner of Eanes Training, as well as a past chapter president and a member of the Pod Squad here at the Metro DC chapter for ATD.
Hey, everyone. I'm Stephanie Hupka, and I am the managing partner of Protos Learning. And like Chris, I am also a past president as well as member of our Pod Squad.
We also have our producer, Helena Hodges, working in the background. Now, for this episode, we are interviewing Lisa Wisner. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Now, well, before we get into our topic, which we are excited to learn more about, of becoming an inclusive learning hero, can you share a little bit about your background with our listeners and viewers?
Yes, of course. I'm Lisa Wisner. My pronouns are she, they, and y'all. And I consider myself a talent development professional. One of the things that I really aspire to doing is advancing purposes through the opportunity to build more talent development in organizations around the world, but also in communities, right? Lifelong learning is one of those things that we can never take lightly. And so just embedding those principles in daily life, that's kind of what I like to do. I serve a company called Open Sesame as their enterprise curator. And one of the things that I absolutely love about the work that I do is that it's so connected to not only technology, but also, like I mentioned, talent development, because that's really where the intersection of the work started. So I have my degree in computer science. So I started in learning and development by, learning how to code and getting into that, and then trying to teach other people how to use technology and how to use the databases. And, just over time, I started finding that there's certain principles. And then that's when I got my master's in educational technology. And as they say, the rest is history. So yeah, I think this realization of, seeing how there's opportunities to learn from, automation and augmentation and, using technology in a new way to enhance our learning is really, for me, why I decided to go into this space. And I'm actually more better known as the founder of an organization called PowerUp.org, which is an organization that is all about bridging the digital divide. And so we're fully focused on making sure that everyone knows technology is not a luxury. It's a necessity. And there is such a thing as technology poverty. And in our workforces, in our organizations, that's something that we need to pay attention to, because, we talk about all these bells and whistles that are available, but are they available to everyone inclusively? And so, yeah, that's where I've immersed myself. And so I'm happy to be here with you all.
Awesome. Now, before we learn how to become an inclusive learning hero, can you share what is inclusive? I just said exclusive.
Yes, you did.
An inclusive learning hero.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could define the term exclusive to also fit into that, because one of the things we want to do, right, being exclusive means that, you are the one, you are the North Star, you're the one that people see. You are the things we want to see, you're the one. And so that can also fit in, right? But really my concept of life, when I launched Power Up, it actually stands for providing opportunities where everyone rises up. Mm-hmm. And it just naturally fit into this model of being a hero. And it started off with just you being a hero, not only thinking about it as, when we think about hero, right, we think about the superheroes, right? If you ask kids, right, who's the hero? Superman, Wonder Woman, all these heroes that are mythical beings that have superpowers. But, when we think about people in our lives who have been heroic, really what we're thinking about is our coworkers. We're thinking about our family, our friends, people that we communicate with. And that's really where the concept of being a learning hero really is about, right? An exclusive learning hero, as you say, right?
It's opposite day, right? It's opposite day.
I like
it's
that.
Learn the word day, right? And I think the context of being a learning hero is really centered on the work of being inclusive. And when we talk about being a learning hero, one of the things that that is important is you have to be an avid learner. Mm-hmm. Thinking about being a learning hero is about thinking about how you can be better. Are you continuously learning, right? So, of course, I'm sure the audience is mostly talent development experts, instructional designers. So think about the fact that you're trying to instill this opportunity for people to grow and develop and be admired in their workforces. But like, what are you doing so that you are being the light of that, right? And so being a learning hero is about being an agent of change, really literally grabbing your superpowers, whatever they are. Sometimes it can feel like we have to pull superpowers from who knows where to get it all done. Bring them all to the table, figure out where your strengths are, lean into that, and just really think about how being inclusive of how everyone else learns, right? So learning about yourself first is so important, but then it also translates into like how can you be a hero, but also have strength for two or more? How can you consider other people in this concept of being a hero? And if you'll allow me, I can actually tell you, like, hero, H-E-R-O, actually stands for something. So, you know, the H actually stands for honor your foundation. And that's really just the beginning of the story, right? We talked about, you know, you modeling the way, you being the change we want to see. How are you learning? What's your foundation of learning, right? How do you learn? Do you know how you learn, right? And then the next thing is all about the E, which is embracing empathy. When you think about putting yourself in somebody else's shoes and how they're going to learn is not the same as you, right? And sometimes we have to go out of our comfort zone to learn how other people learn and how they can be engaged to, so that we can be able to, you know, resonate with them, right? When we think about learning principles, it's all about not just giving the information for knowledge. It's about making sure that there's that emotional connection so people can remember and apply this information to the things that they're doing. And then the R is for respect in action. And I truly believe that, you know, as talent development expert, we have a commitment to being the ones who are the agents of change in our organizations. And, you know, I always say, if you're in talent development, if you're an instructional designer, if you are there to help people self-actualize, right, that's the goal, is you want people to have a purpose in their life and a direction to go, you are the agent of change. So whatever your job title is, just add / change agent, right? So you have to think about how you have to do certain things in your organization. You have to have action steps where you're showing people respect through giving them inclusive learning practices, giving them opportunities to learn in different ways. You know, all the things we can talk about in terms of developing really robust learning programs, whether it's training, coaching, mentoring, sponsoring, all the things that we do in talent development, you have to show respect in action. It's not just what you're saying, it's what you're doing. And then the O in hero is my favorite, which is all about optimizing. It's all about thinking about the future. It's not about thinking about where we are today. It's honoring where we are, but also recognizing that, whoa, we have places to go. We have opportunities, and there may be challenges, but those are opportunities for us to really grow and use those as the catalyst for us to be able to shape the world that we want to see. So yeah, being a learning hero, it's all about being an agent of change. It's about putting that cape on, getting your superpowers together, and like, yeah, being the light for learning and development.
I love this. Your energy is contagious. I feel like everyone's reaching for a cape right now. And what I really love about this is that when we talk about inclusion, a lot of times we're thinking about it and talking about it in terms of things like interpersonal relationships. We don't always talk about it as far as the impact that it has on the flow of our work, which is why I love that you're talking about what instructional designers or facilitators or others in that space might be able to do, because really it starts there. It doesn't start later on. It really starts with those early moments. I'd also love to hear you tell us a little bit more about another aspect of that, which is what it looks like to consider inclusion when maybe we're measuring results or thinking about the O in hero, that optimizing component. How does measurement or evaluation perhaps fit in?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And that is the foundation of anything, right? How do you know where you want to go if you didn't even measure and figure out where you're at, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the number one rule of any technology, right? You got to do an assessment. It, you know,
absolutely.
If you're going on a trip, your GPS, if it's not on, it doesn't know your location. It can't give you a map. You need to know where you're at. And so it all starts with assessment. That is the North Star of all the things we do. And that's why honoring your foundation is so important.
Yeah.
Because you need to not only assess yourself, but then you also need to take that other lens of assessing not only the teams, but the organization. And then sometimes if you're really an optimizing learning hero, you're thinking about your entire community that you're serving. You're not just thinking about your organization. You're thinking about your customers, your stakeholders, everyone who's involved in the work that's being done. How are you serving that up so that it makes sense from a learning perspective? Are you speaking the language people understand? Are you being inclusive in terms of the access to technology or resources that people have access to? Just because it's cool and it has some really cool marketing around it doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone. So it's really about making sure that you are being equitable, right? The term equity is really a term that that I see as, you know, it's a big term now. You know, it's just a simple word, but I feel like people shy away from equity because they're like, oh, we're not there yet. We're not there yet to give equity. But, you know, I like to say, you know, if you ask even a five-year-old, they would tell you what's fair and what's not fair. Everyone feels fairness one way or another. And that's what equity is all about. It's about making sure that you're providing fairness in terms of how everyone can reach the destination. We may not all need the same resources, but we all want to go to we all want to move in the same direction and get to the destination. And that means some of us need more support than others. Some of us need a different kind of support than others. And so that's where the work comes in. That's where the assessment comes in terms of making sure that not only are you analyzing the demographic of the organization that you're serving, but you're also analyzing the resources that are available. You're analyzing people's interests and motivations, right? So there's the representation of the qualitative and the quantitative data. How are people feeling versus what's really going on, right? And merging that data into making sure that you're not only doing the work, so you're checking yourself and saying, okay, where are we at? Let's do a benchmark, right? But also now understanding where the gaps are. Right. Now you're being able to see, whoa, you know, maybe we're not collecting enough qualitative data. Maybe we're not collecting enough quantitative data. And so now you're able to have more informed decisions. Because I'll tell you one thing, you know, a lot of times we make decisions from an emotional thing. Right? We're like, oh, that sounds good. Oh, did you see what that company's doing? Oh, we want to win an award too. And it's like, yeah, that sounds good. And it feels good. And yes, it's cool to win that award. But you know what data does? You know what measuring does? It takes out the ambiguity out of the work. And it makes people take notice because, you know, when you talk about business results, the business impact has to do with data. And like Peter Drucker, right? We all know Peter Drucker said, you know, what you measure gets done, right? But I would even say when you measure, people pay attention, right? If you're not measuring, then you don't have dashboards, you don't have things to share to people about the impact that you're making. Right. And, I mean, we can go on and on about showing your ROI of what you're doing, right? So this intersection of diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, accessibility, justice, all these things we can talk about, the intersection of that and learning and development really is exactly your question. Measurement. Measure, assess, and then that's your direction to improve.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah. Now, what about, so measurement is great it's great, period.
Yeah.
It's great,
absolutely,
period.
Absolutely right.
And I'm thinking about in the moment, because sometimes, like, for example, the individual practitioner, the facilitator, the course developer, you don't know until you know sometimes that you're not being inclusive. So do you have like a measurement stick or just some ways that we can, like, I remember making a mistake with someone with hearing related issues in the classroom, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. Do you have some suggestions for those practitioners who want to be a hero in the moment and adapt?
Yes. Oh, it's like you literally asking me questions from like the H, honor your foundation, measure. The E is embrace empathy, right? So that's what empathy is, putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. But how difficult is it to put yourself in everyone's shoes? It is impossible for you to see every perspective in terms of understanding who's in the room, who's not in the room, who needs to be accommodated, who doesn't need accommodation. And I think there's a study that's out there. I can't remember who did the study, but the data is clear that I think it's more than 20% of our organizations are actually representative of people who have some sort of a disability, but they don't disclose that, right? So a lot of people have a fear of disclosing that because they fear the discrimination from them having that, you know, the way that they think differently or their ability to be able to perform. So they don't disclose it. So guess what? We're walking around with literally a lot of our coworkers who need support, but they're not telling us because they're just afraid of the situation, right? The stereotypes that have to do with that. So that's where we come in. And your question is really like, how do we accommodate when we don't know that we need to accommodate, right? Yeah. And so that's about putting yourself in other people's shoes, joining communities. So there's a lot of communities out there that you can join. where there's people who are doing this work, this inclusive, whether it's learning design or it's inclusive events or it's inclusive communication, right? All these communities are really important because you're going to find people who need those accommodations. They join those organizations and they voice their concerns. They voice the opportunities that are needed. So it's really about being informed, but not waiting for somebody to ask for those accommodations. It's about making sure that whenever somebody needs that support, it's already available. Because, I mean, I always like to say that I don't have a hearing impairment, and I'm privileged to not have any visual impairments, but I really absolutely love having closed caption. I absolutely love having all these accessibility tools, which, by the way, accessibility was really the driver of all the awesome machine learning technologies that we have today that we use. And, you know, the transcription, the dictation, the talking to the Alexas and talking to ChatGPTs, all those things, really the driver was accessibility, was making sure that everybody had access. And so maybe making sure that you are universally making sure that your resources that you have filled those gaps in making sure that everyone is considered in terms of their learning needs. But, you know, even when we talk about measurement, right, that's where not just assessing the entire organization, but assessing from a personal perspective. So don't just assess the leader in that department. You need to assess the employees. You know, one of the things that I always challenge our onboarding processes, right, in human resources or people management, is to make sure you do a learning assessment on the teams, on the people who are joining your teams. Ask them these questions when they join the organization so that everyone understands how this person prefers to learn. You know, it could be as simple as things like there's people who prefer to grab that book and sit down and read it and smell the pages. And then there's others who are like, do not give me a book. Give me Audible. Give me the audio. Give me a podcast. Give me a Blinkist book summary. You know, they just don't learn that way, right? Unless they really love the book when they heard it, then they'll go buy the book and then, you know, highlight it and all that, right? But essentially, you know, creating almost like a blueprint of how your people learn. I think that's important. So part of the onboarding process, you know, you're asking people these questions when they're joining the organization so that you have not only a good understanding of where there may be gaps, but also an understanding of who you're serving, what your organization looks like.
Yeah, it's so essential to bring people in for those conversations, especially when you're really thinking about making sure that you're training, the learning that you're putting together is going to align really well with the people who need to take it, making sure that all of their needs are met before they need to ask or because they've let you know. And, you know, as you're sharing some of that information, it got me thinking, one of the reasons that I've experienced in the work that I've done that sometimes inclusive behaviors and practices are not incorporated right away is because it can be difficult for teams to talk about that. A lot of teams or individuals on teams will say, yes, I'm inclusive, and they mean it and they intend to be, but they're work products or the outcomes don't always reflect that. So I'd love to hear you tell us a little bit about what strategies or conversations teams should be having on an ongoing basis or perhaps even a one-off basis to be sure that that alignment is going to be there.
Yes, great question. So yes, respect and action. Let's do the work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of the things I like to start off with is saying that you need a team, right? There's a famous saying, right? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, we need to go together. And so bringing a team together is important to help support you with that. So first thing, create a team of people and not just these learning and development experts. We're talking about the users, you know, that you really need to have a team of people who can be your champions in understanding what is really needed in the organizations to bridge that divide, right? Because, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of people are shy in saying, I don't want to read that book, right? But they really don't want to read it. And now they're being engaged if you're forcing them to do that thing that they don't want to be in the book club, but they do because they know, you know, that's the culture, you know? Yep. So just think about all the different ways that people could have a place that they can talk. And these are really the steps that to me are what I hope the world is all about. You're showing kindness. You're showing compassion. Yeah. You're showing somebody that you respect them by doing that, by considering them, right? And so being able to give people voice through a team, through a community. I mean, one of the things that I do is help stand up, whether it's learning and development or I'm working on an AI ethical standards task force, right? So just think about all these different initiatives you have. And do you have an ethical team that's thinking about all the considerations that the community could be thinking about? Yeah. And then the other thing there now is to think about what gaps you have in terms of the resources available, right? Because a lot of us, like I work remotely, right? And we, you know, through the pandemic, we learned that everybody has access to be able to work. They don't have to physically go into an office to be productive, right? And yeah. So whatever people select to do, right? The opportunity is to see where are their gaps? Are there gaps in the technology that the person has in their house, in their community, right? Is the Wi-Fi fast enough? What is going on so that this person can actually communicate with us? Do people right. actually even know how to use these tools? Right. I mean, I know I've done audits of use of technology that's been purchased, and the usage is so low. Nobody even knew that you had this learning management system with all these courses that had this catalog of all, you know, like people wow. didn't even know that was there. Right. Learning wow. managers yeah. didn't even take the time to market that. So making sure that people actually know that these technologies are available for them. But, you know, also, I mean, we can go on and on about all the different steps that people can take in terms of doing an assessment on accessibility, doing an assessment of inclusive language, you know, yeah. reaching out to employee resource groups to make sure that you're giving it when you create learning, you're giving examples that are relevant to the community that you're serving. So instead of just coming up with some random case study or some random example, why don't you reach out to some of your employee resource groups in your organization and find out like what success stories do they have to share? What challenges have they had? Yeah. So that you can incorporate mm-hmm. that into the learning and development, right? But you know what this all centers on at the end of all of this? This really just centers on listening to people, yeah. right?
Yes, it does.
It really just centers on all the ways you can listen, whether it's through a survey, a focus group, this ethical standards task force, this onboarding survey that we can have that is literally a learning alignment process that you can yeah. do in your organization, right? It's just a standard thing you do. And there's the assessment for you, right? So all these yeah. things all center on listening, right? Listening to your community and making sure that you're doing things that are going to have a positive impact to your community.
Yeah. Nice. Now, I know we have touched on each part of HERO, the H-E-R-O, and I know there's a lot more depth here. So yeah. our viewers and listeners are going to want to know more. Where do they need to go to learn more?
Yes, of course. I always joke that you can just Google me, Lisa Wisner, and it's with my last name is with an S. And I don't think there's another Lisa Wisner out there. I haven't met them yet. But yes, you can always just Google me, or you can always go to opensesame.com. We have a ton of resources there. In fact, I host a very popular DEI webinar series that's really centered on learning and development and how to be inclusive. And so join that community. We have a mm-hmm. diversity, equity, and inclusion club that's related to that as well, where we talk one-on-one and we have conversations with each other about the challenges we're all facing. But yeah, Google is your friend, or whatever search mechanism you use, use it to find me. And of course, LinkedIn, right? I love LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So connect with me on LinkedIn.
That's fantastic. And I have to say, Lisa, this has been more than a conversation today. This has been a crash course in how to think inclusively. And yes. I cannot thank you enough for sharing so much. I am really glad that we still have three more questions for you. So at the end of every episode, we love to wrap up with what we call our rapid fire style questions. Our listeners and viewers know they are the last three questions. Each one should take no more than about a minute or so to answer. So what do you think? Are you ready for the hardest questions we're going to ask you today? Rapid fire.
Oh my gosh. When you said rapid fire, I'm like, well, if you're a hero, you better be ready. Right? So I'm ready. I'm ready.
Cape is on. Cape is on. I can tell. All right.
These powers they're being wielded now.
Love this. All right. All right. So our first question for you today is, give us one book that everyone must read and why.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So the book that there's so many books, by the way, that mm-hmm. people must read. But the one yeah. book that I feel is foundational to our learning and development work is Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Now, good choice.
It's a good book. And for me, this book is really key. And a lot of people read it and they internalize it as a personal growth thing. But I believe that for me, it's when I read it, I saw it from a learning and development perspective, because what are we doing when we're teaching people things? We're teaching mm-hmm. them to have a change of behavior. That's and this right. book is literally the framework of how to have habit change, right?
It is.
Tiny steps, atomic habits. And I absolutely love this as a foundational framework for us to think about how in talent development, we're cultivating habits for people, but sometimes we're giving the training and we're saying, do this one big, huge thing, you know, run the marathon. You know, you're literally on the couch, but now we want you to go run the marathon. No, it's baby step. It's get off the couch and then maybe think about putting your sneakers on and then go step out the door. And so we have to think of in that perspective, right? We have to be able to give people little nuggets here and there so that we can get massive results at the end, right? And so reading this book for me, game changer. You know, there's a ton of other habit books, right? The Power of Habits, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Like, we can go on and on about habit books, but yes, the Atomic Habits book, Small Steps for Massive Impact. Yes.
Love that. Yeah. And I second it. It is a great read if you haven't done it so far. Second question for you is, what is one tool that you can't live without?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Great question. In this day and age, I don't know whether a year ago I would have said this, but AI tools, generative AI tools today. When I think about ChatGPT, when I think about Claude, when I think about Bard, which is now Gemini, you know, these trusty companions that we have are just like Alexas and smartwatches and all these habit trackers. They're really incredible because, you know, I think one of the things that Atomic Habits talks about is decision fatigue. And so when our employees are going through their work, you know, they have to make, they're making so many decisions, and there's such a thing as decision fatigue. When you have to make all these decisions, you get tired, and then you don't want to make a decision anymore. And then that's where burnout comes in, right? So I believe I am being more optimized because I am embracing these technologies. And I hope y'all are feeling blessed to live in this day and age. I can't imagine what it would be like to have lived, like, I don't know, when AI didn't exist, right? Because today, I literally feel like we can truly actualize our potentials by using this technology integration into our lives. And so it's made me more productive. I feel like I have these digital thought partners and digital assistants helping me along the way. So yes, generative AI, specifically Gemini, ChatGPT, for me, these are the tools. I don't think I can live without now.
I think they're changing all of us, and I think they're doing it fast. And I don't think all of us are pushing back as hard as we were in the beginning. So yeah, those are good selections. So our last question for you today is this one. Give us the best piece of advice that you've ever been given.
Yes. For this one, it's, if you never try, you will never know. And my mom actually is the one who told me this one. And I remember, you know, you call your support system and you're like, I want to do this. I plan on doing this. Oh, I don't have time right now. Right. And it's like, yeah, you know, you can't make decisions from your brain convincing you that, oh, that's not a good idea. Oh, you know, you don't know unless you do it. Right. Unless you've actually done it, your brain is just creating a story of how it may not work out or whatever it is. Right. So for me, it's really just about stepping outside of your comfort zone. It's actually about reaching out. Be the one who reaches out to people. Right. Don't be the one who waits for that smile even. You know, it's not even just about learning and development. It could even just be about relationships with other people. Think about the possibilities that you may be missing out on. And and for me, it's actually tied to the concept of Abraham Maslow's hierarchy, right? When we think about us self-actualizing, the only way through self-actualization is this socialization and belonging. And then it starts on you, right? So you can't go if you're not going with other people. And so absolutely love it. So unless you try to do it, you're never going to know how far you can go. So I love it. Thank you.
I love it too.
Yes. Oh, this has been great. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, and of course, we want to thank our community for joining us as well. And before you go, we have a message from our producer, Helena Hodges.
Are you interested in partnering with our chapter? For more information, visit dcatd.org/partnerships-sponsorships.
Would you like to be even more involved in our wonderful community? Go to dcatd.org and click on volunteer to get started.